This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Bleach Thousand Year Blood War, Episode 20, the Kenpachi versus Grimmy fight, also Yachiru versus Stern Raider V Vanishing Point. I'm going to try and pronounce the name here. Gwinael Lee? Does that sound about right? Did I nail that?
Close enough.
It sounds kind of like an old knight.
Yeah, something like that.
So, except he looks super stupid. So we kick off in the squad four barracks with Isane and Yachiru. Yachiru, as we saw in the last one, basically keeps punching this weird, creepy old dude by instinct. And we find out that he is Stern Raider V, Vanishing Point, Gwinael Lee, as I was saying. And basically he explains that his powers are made up of three different versions. Version one, he erases his form. Version two, he can erase his existence. And then version three, he can erase his existence from someone's mind entirely. Which seems like that should really fall under version number two. But each time he basically disappears, Yachiru is getting faster and faster at attacking him.
I love that.
At this point, I wanted to look this up and I just totally fucking forgot. Isane refers to Yachiru as Lieutenant Kusajishi.
That's her last name.
So she has so at some point she was given a last name. Or was she born with that last name?
That's one of the districts of the Rukongai.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Like he's Kenpachi of Zaraki.
Got it. Okay, that makes sense. There you go. She said that. I was like, who the fuck? And then it was like, okay, let me look that up later. Totally just forgot.
Did you think her name was Yachiru Zaraki?
I just thought it was just straight up Yachiru, singular name, no other Yachiru, like just Yachiru.
Oh, okay.
Like Grimmy.
That's what Yeah.
Like wait, Grimmy does have a last name.
Okay, well, I don't know. Maybe like Basby. Does Basby have a last name?
His name is Basby.
There you go. Okay. Like Basby, Yachiru. I thought it was the cool thing. That was it. But I guess, you know, because, you know, Zaraki is not one to give out last names.
You know.
Where'd you get it? You know?
It's one of the districts.
All right. Yeah, fair. So we find out that basically, anyways, after that bullshit, Stern Raider V is surprised that she basically keeps coming at him based on instinct alone. And Yachiru is explaining how she is doing it, how she just keeps feeling a weird tingle the moment that she saw him. So she's just pretty sure that he's an enemy. And she goes on to explain that tingles that make you feel cold, hot, happy, those kinds are very important to trust. Kenny says that when he finds someone like that, he can't resist the urge to slay them. But Kenpachi's not here, so he probably won't mind if she just does it herself at this point.
I like that. I thought it was funny. She's like, I don't need his permission to really destroy this guy.
Super fucking cool. So she's digging through a box looking for, we find out, her Zanpakuto. But I assume that's her Zanpakuto that she pulled out. Or did she just pull out a random one?
It's hers. She's
okay, why is it in the box?
Because that's where it was.
Because she... I don't remember seeing her carry it often, too. Like, I think in the beginning, all the way back in Soul Society arc, she had it, right?
Yeah, she did.
She has it, but she's so small, it drags on the ground, which is why it has wheels on it.
Which I thought it was cute.
It's adorable. Because I know in Thousand Year Blood War universe, she was being sent off to steal supplies. So maybe she stored it in the box while she was going to go steal supplies, and then she came back and grabbed it out of the box.
So it wouldn't be caught. It wouldn't be caught on shit.
Yeah, because at first I was like... Bit strange that she just dug her fucking Zanpakuto out of a box, but I was like, all right, you know, maybe there's any universe reason for that somewhere. So Yachiru goes on to explain that her sword actually has a power, so she says, and it's to strike her target no matter what, and her sword is a copycat. There are copycats on the front and the back of the sword, so the more you try to gauge the distance and timing, the more likely you are to misjudge and get hit. And so we find out it's called Sanpo Kenju, and that's where we see the really fucking cool little dudes hanging out with there.
It gave me... Kid Nell vibes.
Yes.
But I mean, she was always like that, right? Yachiru?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yachiru is a great fucking character. She's just having a fucking blast at all times. Just there for a good time, doing her thing.
Biting Ikako in the head.
Yes. And so they fucking clobber this Gwinael Lee guy. They just immediately hit him. And Isane basically gives a little bit of an in-universe explanation because she's wondering. That's her Shikai, but she also notes that her sword one hasn't changed forms, and it's not like the materializing of the Zanpakuto's true form, which is said to occur like when you're training for Bankai and that kinds of stuff. She goes on to say that she did not know such a Shikai exists. So a little bit of a, what the fuck is that? What is she possibly having? It's nothing about it has changed, yet she has these two dudes that are just helping out all of a sudden. So interesting. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge. And this is where we see that Sermitor V is still alive, even though Yachiru, but fucking, she's like, I'm pretty sure I sliced you in half. Don't know how it happened. And that's when we see Gueno Li get a big, basically, gouge in his shoulder. And we see this mysterious person sitting inside the barrier where Rose and Kensei are there, just basically knocked out. And Grimmy is telling the, who we believe to be Sermitor V, says, you fought really well for a product of my imagination. And he says, with the powers to erase yourself, you truly fought well, and that's why you just disappeared from my memory. And that's when Gueno Li gets mad to attempt to try to attack Grimmy. And Grimmy says, sorry, I can no longer imagine a future for you. And he just fucking explodes. Gueno just explodes.
That was metal.
Yeah. Just, like, yeah.
Splatters everywhere.
Grimmy was cool. Even though, so I know they adapted 9 chapters in this one episode. 9.
9 chapters?
Yeah. Yep. So, and they cut out a bunch of stuff of kind of like Grimmy backstory. When I say backstory, I mean more like comments from other Sternritters about Grimmy, basically mentioning why he's locked up. Like a lot of asking stuff, which the little scene of asking that we got, I was like, man, I love asking even more.
I know.
I love him even more. So that stuff gets cut out. But the point I was saying is I still think Grimmy came out to be a fucking cool character. I still think they did a really good job with how much content they jammed in this one episode.
I agree.
How amazing was his entrance?
Yeah.
Just sitting there.
Not only is he just sitting there, he's just sitting there behind a barrier where the people that she was trying to heal are.
Well, my favorite part is basically where, like, Isane, your girl, by the way, credit to her, Pythes.
My girl.
Her scream was chilling, where she was, screaming at him to get away from them. And then he's just like, what are you worried about? I already killed him. And I was like, dude, that is brutal.
Did he really kill him? I don't remember.
Yeah, they're dead because they get brought back by the bitch, Giselle, whatever her name is. So they are dead. Yeah.
So we'll just skip to one of my notes here. They did cut a slight scene from the manga where after that, Asane rushes over to check that they are dead and confirms that, they're gone.
Oh, there you go. That would have answered your question right there, Jose. Okay, good. So we see Yachiru still just coming in fucking handy, immediately attacking Grimmy. Just doesn't give a shit. But Grimmy catches her hand and fucking twists it. And that was grotesque, man. I was watching it with Katie in the morning. I watched this episode twice. And I watched the first time. I was like, that's nasty, dude. That is really gross.
I was just telling my girlfriend, I'm like, yo, because she came down at that point. She's like, was that bones? I'm like, dude, this episode's been a little gruesome.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of cool.
Well, it's like, you know, it's a whole different thing when they're like, oh, yeah, I just imagine if your body was a cookie, you know, but it's like, it's still like the crack is like, oh, that's nasty. That's really nasty. Give me the chills.
I think it's because we all secretly just imagine the arm just being twisted and you're just like, yikes.
Yeah.
Did you watch this one with Katie because it has Kenpachi in it?
That's exactly why I watched it with her. So I said, it's your boy. So I showed her the whole meteor scene and everything. It was a good episode. That's her favorite character, dogs. You know she got to see it. We go back to Grimmy, and he says, basically, imagine what would happen if the bone in your arm was made of cookies. And he said, what you imagine next is that if my arm is made of cookies, maybe the rest of my body is. And that's when we see Yashiro basically kind of fall to the ground. And Grimmy says, the greatest power in the world is imagination. Everything I imagine becomes reality. And just then, Kenpachi crashes through the fucking roof because he was looking for Yashiro and felt her spiritual pressure. It kind of felt all wobbly. And then he's like, all I find is a fucking kid acting up. And it's like, damn, Kenny. So Isane asks Kenpachi immediately, it's like, Captain Nohana, is she? And then Kenpachi, she's like, yeah, she's dead, you know. And Isane falls to the ground, and Kenpachi, good guy here, is like, listen, like, I killed her. If you hate me for it, you can go ahead and kill me.
Yeah.
And Isane is actually relieved that this has happened, which in a nice, touching way, where she's like, thank goodness the fact you killed her means you've succeeded at casting Nohana's title. And Kenpachi goes, yeah, I did. And this is where we get the whole Grimmy versus Kenpachi back and forth here, which was really good. Really good lines going back and forth here. So he says, Zaraki Kenpachi, you seem strong, just as I imagined. Which I feel like from step one, they do a good job where I feel, for me, I don't know if this is the whole point of this scene, I'm going to interpret it as this. Grimmy kind of sets himself up for failure, right? Yep. Because if his power is imagination, even from this first line that he exchanges with Zaraki, he goes, you seem strong, just as I imagined. So he could be imagining Zaraki to be really strong and fucking himself over from the first time they meet.
Yeah. That's,
yeah.
Like, I didn't even think about that until right now. I was like, yeah, makes sense.
Like to imagine it's true, but I also like that he just cannot comprehend Kenpachi's strength yet.
Yeah.
I prefer that too.
Because I feel like almost all of his lines, Grimmy, were him basically going like, well, imagine this, or I can no longer imagine you in the future. And then he explodes. And then he sees Zaraki. What's the first thing he says? You're strong, just like I imagine. It's like, so are you buffing him up here, man? Like, come on. Yeah, imagine him weak, dog. Like, you're fucking yourself here.
Also, just want to shout out, I laughed my ass off when Kenny came through the wall like the Kool-Aid man.
Yeah, totally.
So Grimmy raises up all of the ground in like a giant cube, and we see the beds of Rose and Kensei just get yeeted off of the fucking side.
Yep.
And Isane jumps down to save both of them, grabbing them, and then fucking off somewhere else.
I thought that was still pretty cool for her.
Very cool. Isane has been great this whole way through. Very like direct to the point. She got her eye on the prize where she needs to stay alive. She needs to heal people. She's been very good.
She knows what's up.
So Grimmy tells Kenpachi that he set a grand stage for him. After all, he is Zaraki Kenpachi. And this is where we get his introduction as Terminator V, the visionary. And he turns fantasy into reality. And Grimmy says that he believes he is the strongest of all the Stern Raiders, so Kenpachi is lucky to fight him. Zaraki attacks, but Grimmy just imagines that his body was far stronger than steel, so Kenpachi's not able to get through. But after he explains that to Kenpachi, because that's what we do in an anime, he's like, well, fuck, you should have just told me I was cutting steel, and cuts right through. Just like instantly. I'm like, damn. Kenpachi is a cool fucking guy, dude.
Just that whole scene and the, like, what, like he exchanges some pretty good like whips at him.
Yeah, he's a cool cat. Yeah. He's a cool cat.
He knows once what's again, ups. Fuck Kang Do. What's the point of the iron?
What the fuck? Yeah, imagine Kang Do is like, that boy just stole my whole flow. That he stole. What the fuck? Yep. That's my thing. I'd be pissed. So this is when Kenpachi is like, your puny imagination can't create anything that I can't cut. You know why? Because I'm Kenpachi. And this is when we get the title card introduction, which is right before the mid-episode, little eye catcher, as it zooms in on Kenpachi's kind of busted ass edge of the sword.
Yeah, I was just about to say, it was a really cool scene.
Yeah,
just
I am the edge.
Like, you know, almost serrated at this point. Yeah. And it looks crazy.
Very cool. So I have, after the mid-credit episode, I don't know if you guys saw what I retweeted on Twitter already, but somebody caught it. I didn't notice it, and I was so fucking excited when I saw this. I went back and I loaded up the episode to make sure it was actually there. So we see a bunch of Soul Reapers below, basically looking up at this fight between Grimmy and Kenpachi. Mm-hmm. They're all sensing the spiritual pressure.
Wait, are you talking about the dude with the...
Yes. So a lot of them are cheering and like, yeah, he's finally here. We can win. In that crowd, all looking up at the Stern Raider, bunch of random fucking guys. Not random. Is one guy.
The one dude.
One guy. Maki makes his return.
The goat.
We all remember him.
Yeah, we remember
him. But for those
him.
Listening who don't remember Maki, guy with the mustache, was always getting picked on by Yachiru. He is the guy from the original Soul Society Rescue Arc. He drunkenly meets Orihime and Uryu. He's the one who figures out that they're lying about being in Squad 12 because they're wearing the wrong uniforms. Mm-hmm. He eventually, I think he gets beat up by a bunch of people from Mayuri's squad. Then Uryu tells him to take Orihime away so he could fight Mayuri and take her to safety. He knocks out Orihime so that he could carry her to safety. And then he eventually runs around with Yachiru, Kenpachi, and Orihime trying to find Ichigo.
He is the one. Yeah.
He's the one who
brought Orihime. He brought Orihime to Kenpachi, starting Kenpachi off on that fight where he gets to fight Tosin.
Yep. He is the GOAT. And then he has one of the best scenes when he meets with Ichigo. Finally, they finally run into him, like after the fight with Byakuya and everything. And Ichigo's like, who are you? And he's like, just forget I'm here.
I do remember that.
He's just like the fucking best. He just does not want to be evolved anymore. He doesn't want anything to do with this. And he's just like, well, fuck. And he's there. He's there in the anime.
I forgot how much he was there.
Yeah. The first arc, he was in it everywhere. He was all over. Then he disappeared for the rest of
it. It was a stash. It's the stash, you know.
Yeah, he is awesome, dude. So I was so, when I saw that tweet, I went back. I was like, fucking, oh my God. I love Maki. We got to give it to him.
We'll just give a shout out. He was also in the manga.
In this scene. Oh, really?
Okay.
He was in this scene, and he got a little shout out on like a little page illustration Kubo drew.
Oh, okay. I like that. That's actually really sick.
Kubo knows.
So Kubo's the goat dog. Kubo, he likes all of his characters except for the Vizards. That's the only group of characters that he
except
doesn't
for the
like.
Vizards. They were cool in thought.
Mm-hmm. So Grimmy
really cool in thought.
Well, visors are awesome looking. I just think like Kubo probably drew them and was like, I don't really want to use them anymore.
He's like, well, I screwed myself on this one. Now these guys are captains. These guys are captains.
It's like, I drew some really cool guys. Don't really like them anymore, though.
Ignore the cool mask. They don't exist anymore.
Exactly. We cut back to Grimmy, though, and Grimmy is basically saying how they think they can win the war now that you're here, and Grimmy rises and his big slashes all of a sudden healed back up, and Grimmy explains that all he did was just simply imagine that his sword wound had already healed. And he continues saying that people cannot understand his power until they lose. So come at me, Zaraki Kenpachi. I won't even use a single finger. And he says, I will kill you using only what's inside of my head, which is a little hint, hint, nudge, nudge to what we find out later. So lava begins to flow at Kenpachi, and he just fucking cuts it. No biggie. It's just lava. Just cut it right in two. And that lava begins to kind of fling itself at Yachiru. And that's where he basically says, you know, he tells Yachiru to move. And that's when Grammy is like, well, you know, don't be too fucking hard on her because her every bone in her body is a cookie. And we find out Kenpachi has no fucking idea what a cookie is.
Yeah, I was like, what? Yeah. My boy hasn't had a cookie.
No idea what a cookie is. And Grammy's like, well, how about a Rakugan? And he's like, oh, yeah, totally. Okay.
I
was like,
I know what that is.
It's like, which I don't know what that is, but now I feel like the shoe's on the other foot.
Pythies?
I got you. I got the translation. It's a Japanese tea cake.
Oh, okay. All right, there we go. Yeah, because I was like, oh, dumbass is no cookie. He's like, what a Rakugan? And he's like, I'm a dumbass.
Damn it, flip the script.
It's one of the best scenes of the best panels in the manga is Kenpachi just going, what the fuck is a cookie?
That's beautiful. I'm surprised they left that in with the amount of humor that they've been cutting out. I'm surprised they made the cut.
That's a good line. Good.
Mm-hmm. So Kenpachi jumps into the air to attack, but this time he's trapped in all of a sudden a cube of water. And Grammy says that the air he jumped into is just already water. And Kenpachi looks down as a crevice begins to open and swallows up Yachiru. Following with Kenpachi being dropped in the crevice as it slams shut, Kenpachi just jumps through the fucking earth, just busts through it, now carrying Yachiru and attacks Grammy. He says that it seems like Yachiru's bones are back to normal. Were you so desperate to beat me that you couldn't use your mind on Yachiru? And we zoom to Asken, where this is what I was saying earlier. The brief scenes we've gotten of Asken, I just fucking love. I just entirely, Asken comes on the screen. I'm like, we're about to hear some of the most sarcastic bullshit I've ever heard in my life.
He's just a fun dude. I love him.
So he's watching the fight, laying on a building somewhere, got binocs, whole thing. And he says that the world speaks badly on someone who cannot do anything more than imagine. But when you see someone who could do anything with just their imagination, it makes you realize just how peaceful it was when they couldn't do anything. I was like, okay, all right.
Well, speaking some truth there, sir.
Yeah, yeah. Well, where he's kind of like, of course we make fun of these people that always imagine, but it's like, that's because we wouldn't want them to be able to do whatever they want. It's like, fuck that. Like Grammy, which we've talked about before, is one of our clips that we posted up on TikTok as well, where Grammy is supposed to have been imprisoned, and he was supposed to have been released for this fight, and a lot of the dialogue, what I was referring to earlier with Asken, is then basically going over like, I don't know why Yuha would release that fucking guy, and then just cut all that out. There's no notes, no information, no nod, no nothing to Grammy being locked up.
Oh, that kind of sucks. I mean, yeah. But I get it.
I mean, also Pepe is in that conversation, and fuck Pepe.
which one's that dude?
He's the big fat guy with the staff.
Oh, kind of okay, yeah, yeah.
Fat,
yeah.
Cupid looking
like,
one.
Yeah, he had like little wings in the like a staff, right?
Yeah.
They also cut like a little bit where they both just decide to fuck off because they're like, yeah, I don't want to be caught in this fight.
Nice.
And yeah, I know. I saw a couple of you posting like panels, and a lot of it was like when the meteor starts coming, and then like, this is why we shouldn't have let him out. This is why we should. Yep. I was like, yeah, love
we'll
it.
We'll get to that part. I got
okay, okay,
that.
Okay. So Kenny tells Yachiru that he can still sense Isane's spiritual pressure, so to go down there and get her arm fixed, and she immediately goes, yep, and fucks off. So Kenpachi asks Grammy, what do you want with me? You want to fight, right? Aren't you the strongest, Quincy? If you're the strongest, don't you want to crush the strongest? Kenpachi runs into attack again as Grammy just controls the earth like a fucking earthbender and begins slamming giant things into Kenpachi. And Grammy begins to wonder what it is exactly he's feeling in this fight. He says he is the strongest. He's never felt the desire to crush someone. So then why do I want to crush this guy so badly? And this is where we get the scene, classic BBS move, by the way, where Grammy summons just a fleet of fucking guns and fires them at Kenpachi. Kenpachi slams up a piece of the fucking ground with his foot and blocks all the bullets. Grammy
he's
fires.
An earthbender too.
Yeah, yeah. Grammy fires fucking rockets at him. They just explode on Kenpachi under the rock. And then Grammy launches one more. Kenpachi slices it in two. And that forces Grammy to raise his hands, kind of block the debris. And Kenpachi's just standing there like, yeah, made you use your hands. Like, there you go.
And jokes on you.
He says, looks like this thing is finally going to have some fun as he is raising his own Zanpakuto. And Grammy walks forward as Kenpachi jumps to the air again. Kenpachi's a big jump air attacker. And Grammy wonders, why does he feel so good right now? Grammy puts kind of like a steel barrier around him, kind of like Avatar again, where he's fighting against the Fire King at the very end. And Kenpachi just attacks right through it, just breaks through it and slashes Grammy's shoulder again. But now his sword is stuck inside of Grammy as Grammy summons a giant concrete hand to crush Kenpachi. Kenpachi just busts out. Just earth attacks don't work on Kenpachi. Just don't
he's
even
too
waste
good.
Your time.
Come on, man.
So he slashes Grammy again, and this time Grammy is now freaking out, realizing that he noticed he'd been cut too late, and in that momentary lapse, he's going to be hit by Kenpachi's next blow. So Grammy starts to wonder why he can't stop his blade. Am I really going to lose this guy? This can't be happening. Kenpachi goes, what? Did you imagine yourself losing? And Grammy, in that moment, he kind of snaps together, and he's like, You're right. And he heals himself up. Thanks, Kenpachi. And he's like, I was able to completely wipe away the thoughts of death thanks to your words. Grimmie summons a second version of himself and says, allow me to thank you by showing you my greatest power. And this is where we get the best scene in the fucking anime coming up. I can even create life with my imagination. And then we see the look back of obviously the Stern Litter Incinerator, the previous Stern Litter V, Mr. Lee, Gwenael Lee. And he says, neither of us can be cut. Neither of us will die. My power, or the power of my imagination, doubles. Kenpachi looks up as the giant meteor begins to descend on the Sarite, which I want to give a special note to when the meteor is like breaking the bubble of the Sarite. Dude, I was like, damn, that is fucking cool. Really cool.
I love seeing stuff like that.
Yeah. Like, it's just beautiful. Like, yeah. It really is when that meteor is slowly descending like that. So Grimmie says you're going to disappear along with the rest of the Sarite, and only he himself, literally Grimmie, is dropping meteor. He's like, fuck everybody else. Only I'm going to survive this meteor. Best of luck. And Kenpachi is just smiling. He's like, a meteor? Never cut one of those before. And that's when we get, isn't this exciting, like Nozarashi. We get the first little glimpse of his Zanpakuto. And this is when the random Soul Reapers begin to panic because there's literally a fucking meteor about to come down. And Grimmie says, even if you killed me right now, it would be useless because the meteor is already part of reality. So he's already made it. He's already created it. It's already there. He says, it won't go away. It'll fall, wipe everyone out, and there's nothing you can do about it, Kenpachi Zaraki. We cut to Zaraki once again, looking fucking excited, just so happy about this. He says, do nothing about it. Maybe for you, as Kenpachi runs, jumps, says, drink, Nozarashi. We get a flashback at this point to Kenpachi meeting Yachiru, and Yachiru is kind of crawling towards him. He's like, what's your name, kid? No response. Like, oh, you don't have one? Neither do I. As Yachiru touches his blade, and then the meteor gets cut into fucking two by Kenpachi. We get absolutely fucking that scene where he's cutting the meteor. First of all, amazing, beautiful, love it. But the part where it goes black and white and he transitions back to his kid self.
Yeah, with the smile on his.
He's just fucking smiling. It's just like, awesome on so many levels. So many. Just like, one, he's back to his OG state where it's like, I don't have any limits. Like, I'm gonna fuck this shit up.
Let's go.
He's having fun in battle. He's just fucking loving it all the way through, and he just breaks it. And like, shit goes flying everywhere all over the Sarite. It was a great scene.
This is what Unohana died for. In a good way.
Yeah.
I will die to unlock his limiters, and you see he's in a fight where he's cutting a fucking meteor in half. He's fighting a guy with a million guns, and he's loving every second
of
it.
With a smile on his face.
Mm-hmm. That's why he is the Kenpachi, as he said earlier.
The Kenpachi.
Mm-hmm.
The best.
So we see Kenpachi Shikai, the giant fucking butcher knife, and it looks badass. Grimmie at this point is just full on like yelling, you damn monster. And Kenpachi's like, simple, really. There's just nothing I can't cut.
I love that. He just keeps saying it the whole time. He's like, I can destroy everything.
Mm-hmm.
I got you.
So Grimmie begins to duplicate himself even further, creating more copies. And Kenpachi says, making more won't help. Grimmie says, it will. I'll just kill you with something without form. Die in the vacuum of space. In space, your body fluids evaporate and your blood begins to boil. Kenpachi, you see fucking blood coming out of his eyes, coming out of everywhere as he's screaming as his face is being engulfed in space. And just then, it closes. Kenpachi's fucking Shikai breaks through space itself, cutting Grimmie in two. And Kenpachi, this scene is my second favorite in the episode, of his white eye just basically like crawling out of this fucking crevice like a monster. But he's like, what? You forgot to harden your body during that? And like, just like, Grimmie's cutting fucking to you. He crawls out of the shattered spot in the fucking glass, like the glass air, whatever the fuck you want to call it. And amazing. Just then, the duplicates of Grimmie basically reveal that he has hidden bombs inside of himself as they all attach to Kenpachi and explode. Kenpachi still just standing there, smoke coming out of his mouth. No biggie. You would have thought he would just got tickled. Grimmie at this point is like, what the hell is wrong with you? Are you really a monster? He says, in that case, I just have to become stronger than you, as he begins to morph his own body, saying that this is the first time that he's ever actually wanted to defeat somebody. Just as he is about to reach Kenpachi, we see his fingers start to break apart. His whole body starts kind of going to shit. And Kenpachi says, you turned me into a monster inside your own head. That same monster is what just killed you, you stupid fool. And that's when we get the ending song here. But there's actually quite a long after credit scene that happens up after this, which continues the Grimmie versus Kenpachi situation. So if you did not watch it, you missed out big time. Grimmie is basically on the ground. Kenpachi lands right in front of him, and he is wondering if he was killed by his own imagination, and he kind of affirms himself. He says, that's not it. Grimmie says, my imagination was correct. It was just too correct. I was able to correctly imagine all of Kenpachi's power, but the one thing that he couldn't imagine correctly was that his own body couldn't withstand his powers. He says, it wasn't my power of imagination that lost you. It was this body of mine. He says, I wanted to win so badly, as we see a fucking jar holding a brain pop out of Grimmy's body. And Kenny's just basically like, the fuck did I just watch? Like, what is that? And Grimmy starts to explain, I told you, didn't I? I would defeat you without using a single finger. This whole body of mine was made with my imagination. It seems like my imagination is at its limits. It's going to be sad, a world where I can no longer imagine anything, as his body completely fades away and the jar holding the brain is just left on the ground in front of Kenpachi. And that is pretty much the end of the episodes there. We get the Candace end poem. Struck by thunder, you're on your knees. That is my desire. And the next episode is going to be Bleach 21, The Headless Star.
Fire fucking episode.
Yeah. Couple of things. I have like a few things to note on the end of this episode. I'll start going down my list here. How the fuck? So I assume Grimmy's actual form is that jar, that head in a jar. Or the brain in a jar.
Correct.
How the fuck did he get Yuha's blood?
Hey, maybe that'll be answered in Can't Fear Your Own World.
Wait, is that actually thing? Answered in Can't Fear Your Own World? Is that legitimately?
I can't remember the answer, but I know the brain part shows up.
No way.
Wow. Okay, so I was about to ask, what happens to the brain after this?
So this might be related to my second thing. Mayuri has to get a hold of that brain, right?
He has to.
Somebody gets a hold of that brain.
Interesting.
Okay. Maybe somebody who I keep calling that bitch.
Tokinata gets a hold of Grimmy's brain?
That's upsetting.
Interesting.
That's upsetting. Is he able to use Grimmy's brain?
Yeah.
Hey, maybe we'll find out and can't
be Yes, we should be getting paid so many royalties, you in particular, Pythes, for pushing Can't Fear Your Own World, dog. That you should be getting advertising royalties for how much. It's like, hey, you want to know about this? Can't Fear Your Own World. Can't Fear Your Own World. Check
slap,
it out.
Slap him as a publisher so he gets a percentage of the sales.
It's like, give Pythes his kickback, please.
Sam, I am asking you, after this entire Bleach anime is done, can you just make a supercut of me saying, yeah, just wait till Can't Fear Your Own World?
Yeah. Okay, I'll start marking it now. We'll see how many we get by the end of this.
Oh, my Lord. Every time we ask a question, hey, Can't Fear Your Own World.
Interesting. Okay. So outside of the whole brain jar discussion, this episode, out of all of the episodes, Core 1, Core 2, felt the quickest. That was a quick episode.
It's probably just because it was a lot more action, less talking.
Yeah. So much action. Right?
But, I mean, it was also the most chapters that they've adapted to an episode. 9 chapters. Obviously, it's mostly action, as we said. But still, 9 chapters to 1 episode. They fucking jammed that whole thing in there. And it felt like the quickest episode. It was so fast.
Yeah, it really did. I remember sitting there and I'm like, okay. For me lately, the Saturdays have been like Saturday morning cartoons. Yeah, I wake up, I just turn it on, I go downstairs when my girlfriend's asleep, enjoy myself. But I was like, wow, this is fast. It's been really nice. I'm just chilling down there with my dojis.
I'll just tell you, so I forgot to mention, last episode was the end of volume 63.
Oh, shit.
So except for the last bit that we'll cover next episode, this was almost all of volume 64.
That's crazy, man. Like they jam so much shit into this. It was incredible.
To be fair, a lot of the manga panels were reaction shots of characters. You know, here's a panel of the arm swinging. Here's what it cuts. And they can just do that in an instant in the anime.
True. Yeah.
It went so fast, but they didn't cut out a whole lot.
Oh, okay. That was my next question, is I don't remember if they did cut stuff off. Like, there's at least a big amount.
Yeah, there's a little... There's one scene they kind of cut on, and I'll get to that later, but Sam, finish your stuff.
Okay. Well, in terms of cut stuff from what I know, even like what Pythes was saying, all the stuff that I saw is just reaction stuff, like Basby reactions, fucking, you know, Asnot doing reactions, like all that kind of stuff.
So we didn't get what we did, like, back in the old Bleach where something would happen and it's like, face, face, face,
yeah,
face,
like
face,
when they
face,
were fighting face. Aizen and they went, which is like everybody's reaction now. They cut all that shit out. So
I'm sad about that. Well, that was the thing I was going to mention. So should I go through that?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Do it up.
So in the manga, they are all actually legit freaking their fucking minds because they're the fucking meteor coming down. And it's Basby screaming like, what the hell? Why is Grimmy doing this? Why did they do this? Random Soul Reapers and Quincy's that were just fighting each other look up, freak out, and run the fuck away.
Nice.
Dude, I wish that would have been a scene, because I feel like they've done such a good job showing all the wars going around. That would have been perfect.
Is asking, looking up like, this is why I said they shouldn't have let this fucker out.
Dude, I gotta say, okay, if I'm self-casting myself, I'm asking. I'm asking.
Yeah,
like, I would be sarcastic. I would be sitting on a tower somewhere, minding my own business. I too would be salty as fuck that somebody's calling down a meteor. I'd be like, dude, we shouldn't even let him out. Like, this is
fuck
some horse
this
shit.
Guy. I didn't care if we lost the war. Fuck this, yeah, dude.
It's like, we should have kept that creep in this fucking cage.
Yep.
Also, did you note that when Askin was on the roof, he also had like a nice pillow to rest
on? I know. Yeah, he was vibing, dog. He was having a great time. Had his binocs. He was just watching the fights.
He was watching all. I'm imagining he saw every single fight, and then Grimmy showed up. He's like, God fucking damn it. We're all gonna die.
Yep.
Let's see. Renji, there's a shot of Renji asking, what is happening? There's a random Soul Reaper going, no, it'll be fine. The barrier will protect us, and the meteor breaks through the barriers.
I have a question about the cut stuff with, you know, like kind of mentioning that Grimmy should have been locked up during this, where they obviously no reference of that in the anime period. Mm-hmm. Could you have argued, obviously not because Yuha's almighty, literally the almighty, all powerful, but if I was on the other side as a Soul Reaper and I heard them talking about how Grimmy used to be locked up, it's like, oh, you guys must be pretty down bad to release that guy, huh? You think you need to use him against us? Mm-hmm. Fucking losers.
Relying on a kid, on a brain.
Yeah, well, it's like he was so scary that you guys kept him locked up, but it's like then you guys let him loose on us. Like, oh, you guys would be pretty desperate, huh?
We're just that badass. Use him.
I'd think that, but I mean, to be fair, the only person that says anything about being locked up is Askin, and he's kind of saying that to nobody.
Okay, that's fair. He's just monologuing, you know? he's just a little pissed off that a meteor's coming down, that's all.
I mean, I would be too.
Yeah, and the last thing, which I thought was really interesting, is Yugram yelling at some Quincy's, go protect his majesty.
Oh, interesting.
So I'm sad they skipped out on that because it was cool.
Yeah, because that would have really shown where it's like Grimmy potentially is telling the truth when he says that he is the strongest of all the Quincy's or the Stern Ritters at that point, where it's like even Jugram is like, somebody go protect the majesty. Like, go now.
Yeah, he's like,
there's a whole
damn
mass
it,
fucking
who gave the
going
order?
Down. I did find it interesting, though, that when the meteor did get broken, the bubble immediately repaired.
Oh, yeah. Oh, huh. I forgot about
that. I didn't notice that.
Yeah. So they broke it. The bubble immediately sealed itself back up, which I don't know if that happens in the manga. I have to assume they probably did that. Where it's like, thank fuck. Now we can keep using our dark backgrounds.
Yeah. Start switching.
Like, we cannot burst that bubble because then we have to draw backgrounds. We're fucked. Yep. That's it for me. That's all I got. So it was just a couple of things on the tidbit, and it was mostly action. I thought it was incredibly well done. I have a question for you guys, and this is definitely after that we've seen three incredible episodes back to back to back: Renji versus Master Masculine, Rukia's Bankai, Asnot, that whole thing, and then of course Kenpachi versus Grimmy. What is your guys' favorite of the three episodes?
I can say that I watched this episode with just a smile on my face the whole time.
I'm with Pythes on this one. I just had a better time on this one, but I do think Rukia's Bankai, even though we've seen it, was still pretty badass.
Okay, so you guys enjoyed the Kenpachi versus Grimmy fight the most?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go complete opposite here. I enjoyed the Ruki episode the most. I think that was the most satisfying. I think it was the most well built up. Ruki got her moment. I love the Ruki and Byakuya scenes. I think that was perfect.
It was
really,
well deserved
really
for her.
I think the pacing of that episode was very, very good. I think this one was super, super quick, but it was all action.
Yeah.
So it's kind of two differing things. Now, here's my follow up question, because I figured you guys are going to say the Kenpachi one. Which had the better animated fight, Kenpachi versus Grimmy or Renji versus Master Masculine?
I think Renji had the better
yeah,
animation.
I think
I agree
so
with
too.
That too. Yeah.
I saw a lot of people talking online about how amazing the Kenpachi versus Grimmy one, but I was just thinking that one scene, I tweeted it out, where fucking Mask is pummeling Renji and he runs through the towers and jumps off the rubble to go continue punching Renji. That was fucking incredible.
Yep.
I think that was more well animated than anything I have seen so far. It was just so, so good, where I think that takes the cake for the animation. The only thing I think would hold a candle in the Kenpachi one is the what I already mentioned with him going back into his kid form. But that's a totally different kind of animation, you know?
Yeah, but it's a really cool trope, and I've seen it done a couple of times, and it's always done really well.
The black and white, like the manga thing, is awesome.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, it's done a lot. That was incredible. I don't think it was a more well-animated fight sequence than the Kenpachi or the Grimmy, not Grimmy, what the fuck, Mask the Masculine versus Renji.
Well, here's the deal. The Mask fight was an actual fight. While I loved the Kenpachi fight, it was Grimmy throws some bullshit at Kenpachi, and then Kenpachi cuts it, and Grimmy freaks out.
True. It was kind of like a battle of wills almost, whereas like Grammy was launching shit and Kenpachi just had to withstand it and he would eventually win.
Like, and Kenpachi is getting fucked up. Like, it's not like it's having no effect.
I mean, his clothes was all ripped up. He was bleeding.
And it shows, like, at the end when he's getting all fucked up. And part of what makes it work is because, like, even when he gets, like, the smoke, when he gets blown up by Grammy's duplicates, the smoke is coming out of Kenpachi's mouth. And that just, like, furthers where, like, Grammy's like, you're a monster. Like, you're a fucking monster. You're breathing fire.
This is coming from Grammy, who asks and is calling a monster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So here is my ultimate question for you guys.
All right.
So this has been your favorite episode of Core 2?
I kind of liked all of them.
It's been hard for me to pick one.
Pick one. I'm putting you guys on the spot. What is your all-time favorite episode? I would say we're about halfway through. What's your all-time favorite episode of Core 2?
I'm going to say it's the Rukia one for me.
Okay. Even though you said you liked the Kenpachi one better, Jose.
I do like the Kenpachi one. Like, in terms of this, I like the whole episode.
Okay.
I just love Maste Masculine so much.
Okay. So... let's say we take you like the Rukia one, Jose. Pythes, you like masculine is your favorite one of Core 2 so far. Is that better than the Yamamoto fight that we got in Core 1?
No.
I think the Yamamoto fight that we got in Core 1 is still the best episode of Bleach Sazuke Barber we've gotten so far.
I 100% agree with that.
I think that was just incredible all the way through. I would be hard pressed to see that one beat it. Alternatively, I think the episode where Ichigo finally returns to Soul Society for the first time also beats all three of these episodes.
Maybe that'll happen soon.
In Core 1, when we get the first person shot of Ichigo burst through.
Oh, that was hype.
Yeah, we get the please save the Soul Society. We get him rushing over to Yuha and fighting. I think that is still better than. So those two episodes, I think, beat all three of these episodes on their own.
I agree with you.
I would say yes.
And that's saying something, because I think these last couple episodes have been so amazing.
Yeah. I just think, unfortunately, like, I feel like these episodes, it's still in the beginning stages of this grand war that is officially ongoing now, where the first invasion was, like, a fucking stomping, you know, where, like, unfortunately, those fights and Ichigo returning was at the end. So, like, that was, like, the hype. You know, that was the hype of those, that first invasion, where this is still kind of, like, in the middle grounds of this second invasion.
I agree. All the fights, even though they've been good, it feels kind of like filler because all the shit that happens later is so much more important.
Yeah, the stakes are relatively still low, and I feel like we kind of have the anime mindset still going into these ones, where it's like, oh, Kenpachi's returning for the first time, of course he's not going to lose. Oh, Rukia is coming back for the first time, of course she's not going to lose. Oh, Renji's here, of course he's not going to lose.
That's not a given, it's Renji.
Yeah, okay.
That's true.
True.
That's a flip of the coin on that one.
But, I mean, you know the anime trope, right? With, like, they get their new ability, they show up for the first time, of course they're going to dog walk the person that they're fighting.
Yeah, it's an anime thing.
Yeah. So I think that is potentially part of it, where it's like we know that they're going to win. That's why I think until it gets to later and the reveal of, like, the elite guard and stuff like that, then the stakes will be there. Then it'll be crazy.
Ooh, the elite guard's going to be fucking insane.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see that fucking hand fight.
Yes, I know. I'm with you on that.
It's going to be fire. It's going to be really fire. So I have a question, and I want you to spoil it, Pythes.
Okay.
What comes next? So obviously we get Candace, right?
Yeah.
Candace goes to fight Kenpachi?
No, she goes to kill Kenpachi.
Okay, she goes to kill Kenpachi. Then Ichigo shows up.
Yep.
Okay, and then where do we go past Ichigo showing up? What happens next?
Let's see. So I did skip ahead a little bit in the manga. Okay. I've been trying to avoid it because I want to be fresh on this.
Okay.
But
well, don't ruin it if you don't want to.
Okay, well, from what I remember, Candace shows up and she's like, Kenpachi's hurt. I need to kill him now because he's a fucking problem. He just killed Grimmie. And then a bunch of people are like, oh shit, Kenpachi's about to die. We need to protect him. And then some other Quincer's like, we can't let that happen. And then there's a big scuffle that happens.
Okay, so that's probably what we're going to see next.
That's kind of sick, though, that it's like a kind of fight over who can keep Kenpachi or kill Kenpachi. That's kind of sick.
And then, like, all the Bambi show up and then the boy...
That's when you see the skull in the sky, I guess, or the bubble.
Yeah, that's when. By the way, I was fucking wrong. I thought Ichigo showing up would be the last thing that happened this season.
That would be almost next episode, wouldn't it?
That should be next episode or episode after.
Baby. Oh okay, okay, okay. All right, all right. We're looking real good then. Well, let's hand it over to Pythies. Anything we miss? Anything you want to expand upon on this episode?
Well, besides the fact that we just started a new volume, we're already done.
Yeah.
All the visuals in Gwenno Lee's power explanation are just better in the anime.
Okay. They are cool, and I like the part when he said he was going to go step version 3, and he kind of starts like expanding into this weird fucking shadow monster. That was cool.
And then Jachiro punched him in the fucking face.
Yeah.
On instinct.
I just wrote, Jachiro is rad.
Yeah, awesome character. Really good. So, there was a Twitter account that is named Daily Jachiro. And someone goes, man, this account's about to run out of content real quick. I was like, yep, that's true.
Okay, so they did skip a little bit of dialogue in the manga. Gwenno is like low-key salty that Jachiro just assumes he's a bad guy.
No, really?
Because when Jachiro was punching the shadows, Isane's like, if you feel something, don't just randomly attack a fucker you don't know about. And Yachiru's like, well, I don't know. It felt kind of weird. And he's just like, yeah, that's right, tall girl. If you got a reason to think I'm the enemy, just say it. I'll take it into consideration.
That's fucking funny. That's great.
He's kind of salty. It's so funny. So I just wrote, it's been so long that I've waited to look at that fucking dance animated.
Yeah. Love that shit. Love it.
So Sanpo Kinju means a three sword beast.
Cool.
Okay.
And I noted, it's got Ken in the name. Ken means sword. She is Kenpachi's sword. And Kenpachi's name has Ken in it.
Yeah, so it all comes together.
Yeah, see, we talked about Isane running to check if they're dead. Kenpachi bursting through the wall like the Kool-Aid Man. I love that Kenpachi doesn't even move when Grimmy's just making his arena.
Yeah, sick.
He's just like, yeah, this is neat.
Yeah, he's like, let's fucking go, dog. Hey. I'll take an arena.
Less things to get in his way.
And then we mentioned it before, but it goes so hard when he says, your imagination can't create anything I can't cut.
Yeah, What a beast.
So the anime improved something. Yachiru falling into the crack is only in the anime.
Oh.
He also carries her out of the crack in the manga. Kubo just didn't draw her falling in.
So I remember this scene, and I don't know if we're going to get it next episode. I remember a scene of Kenpachi, I think it's after the fight's over, and he basically starts yelling at people to find Yachiru.
Yep.
Is that coming up? Did we miss that? Is it going to be next episode?
That's coming up.
Oh, but okay. So what prompts that? Because he sent her to go get healed. Does he all of a sudden just not sense her Reiatsu anymore?
He can't sense her spirit energy, and he's like, where the fuck is she?
Got it. Okay, got it.
See,
the one thing he cares about.
Yep. Well, she's technically still with him, but you know. True. It's not the same.
Does he know that at any point?
I think he figures it out eventually, but right now he's got no fucking clue.
Okay. He didn't know what a cookie was, Jose. I mean, come on.
He's not that bright.
I will send you the panel of what's a cookie.
Okay. That would be a good shirt.
So it mentioned, I'm glad you mentioned it, Sam, when it zooms in on Kenpachi's sword looking beat up, because Nosurashi means weather beaten.
Oh, sick. That's sick.
Grimmy's death is slightly more graphic in the manga. It doesn't cut to his fingers, it cuts to like his neck muscles ripping apart and like his ribs like splitting through his side and shit. I think anime did it better though, but it's still cool.
I like that he was creating himself into like basically kind of like a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde kind of monster. I thought that was really cool.
Oh man, Kubo did it again. I just remember that's how he killed that Fulbrin guy.
Right.
It's just Byakuya had to fight the eye guy again. Shunsui had to fight the gun guy again.
Listen, Kubo comes up with these matches like, that was so good, I'm going to do it again.
Hey, no one will notice. No one's going to notice. Mm-hmm. Come on.
And then the last thing I wrote, next episode is going to be shocking, and Jose is going to be hype as fuck.
Let's go.
Lovely, Pythi. So glad we had to jot that one in there, the classic little pun.
There we go. That's what I'm here for.
Okay, all right. Next episode will be fucking sick. If it's going to be like a attack and defense of Kenpachi, that's gonna be cool.
That'd be really cool.
Man.
Keep away.
Yeah.
You could say it'll be electrifying.
I'm not gonna laugh at that.
You're having a good time.
I refuse. I refuse.
I'm having so much fun because Sam hates it.
I'm glad that brings you joy. But yeah, I think a lot of people have been waiting to see Candace, so I think people are gonna be really excited for the next episode. Bambi Squad is always fun. I think that's gonna be a lot to look forward to. I'm just interested to see where they're gonna go going forward. How many episodes do we have left? Probably.
What are we on? 7 or 8?
I think seven. Seven so out of how many? Is it going to be 13 again?
So depending on what you count, it's going to be 13. But I think they're going to do the same thing again where the last two episodes are going to be kind of conjoined.
So it's like a split one?
So potentially 5, potentially 6, however you want to count it. It's going to be good. I don't know where they're going to end. It's like I truly have no fucking idea.
Me either. I'm just along for the ride at this point.
I've seen a lot of people saying that they are going to add a big Udyu versus Ichigo moment.
Oh, okay. I could see that.
I think that most of that is based off of the trailer, or not the trailer, the opening theme where they kind of set up this Ichigo versus Udyu kind of setup here.
They do have a scene like that in the manga, but it's not very well fleshed out. So if they just expand on that, it'd be cool.
Yeah, I bet that's what they'll do. I think that would be, because I don't know if we talked about this last episode. I've been thinking about this a lot. I don't buy in to the Udyu versus Ichigo thing. I think we touched on this a little bit last time.
Does anybody?
It's just like, I feel like Udyu is not a rival to Ichigo. Like, I can't believe it. I don't care. It's like, and there's no world in my mind where I see Udyu defeating Ichigo. There's no world where I see this, you know, Goku and Vegeta thing even. I don't even think they're that. It's like Udyu has been so sidelined that I don't see him as a threat. Like, that's ridiculous, man. Especially if, let's say, Ichigo comes down and he is par to par with Udyu after he's been training with Squad Zero. I'd be like, dude, come on. Like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. I could see that.
It is a symptom of Kubo kind of sidelining the other characters just to show off how cool the Soul Reapers are.
Yeah, it really does sense. Feel like if you're not a Soul Reaper, you did kind of get left behind, unfortunately, especially with a race.
Chad.
Yeah,
well, I was gonna say, we had a whole talk about Chad.
Yeah, I can't buy into the Udyu and Ichigo thing, and I just don't know how they would fix it. So maybe that'll be a good question for the people listening or watching this. How would you go about fixing the Udyu versus? Because I don't think there's anybody that's buying this. I don't even know if you're watching this for the first time in the world, you're buying into this fucking versus match that is about to happen, because it's just, you know, Udyu is a good guy. It's shown time and time again that he's a good guy. It's shown time and time again that he supports the Soul Reapers. I can't buy it.
He went to Soul Society to rescue Rukia, a Soul Reaper.
Yep. And it's just like, even with fucking the whole Espada arc, he's also helping out the Soul Reapers the whole way through. It's like, man, I get what they're trying to do. I get they're bringing in this new race. Somebody's got to be like our vision into what they're doing, but like, Udyu, like, I don't give a shit about Udyu.
We've always felt that way about Udyu, though.
But I kind of feel like his whole family, like, even let's say Udyu didn't change sides, but his dad did, I would still be like, his dad's a good guy. We already know, yeah, they're both good guys. At the end of the day, both of them are good guys, and it's like, I can't buy into this.
Well, okay, here's my solution: we straight up copy the Wakamundo arc. We have him basically be forced into being a Quincy. Or forced into being part of a Sternritter, like, participate in this or we'll fucking kill your dad.
Okay. I would dig that.
You see him taking part in fights he's not down for. You'd see him maybe accidentally kill a couple Soul Reapers. And then you could have
He knew.
Yeah, that he knew. And then you could see, like, he's trying to accidentally sabotage this fight from the sidelines.
I think it would need to be something along the lines of, like, not only killing his dad, but he would also have to kill, like, Ichigo, Orihime, Chad, like, all of them. It would have to be something really high stakes, because he doesn't like his dad that much, doesn't give a shit. So it would have to be something along the lines of where it's, like, even to a certain point where he could be trying to kill, let's say he has to kill a Soul Reaper, and he's like, yo, Ichigo, I'm doing this for you, dog. Like, I'm trying to sort this out for you. And then, you know, Ichigo is, of course, Ichigo, and wouldn't believe it, right?
I mean, that conversation does come up later. Because he is doing it, but I don't buy it either. I don't think anybody does.
Yeah, that's why it just kind of feels like it's a slap in the face the whole way through. It's like, I feel like potentially it'd be a bit more believable if we saw Udyu doing things. Like what if instead of
standing around?
What if instead of Jugrim killing Kengdu in BG9, it was Uryu?
That
would have been really cool.
Like, then we would see Uryu's getting his hands dirty, man.
It could have been Jugrim being like, hey, Master needs you to kill these.
Yeah, it's like, hey, you're the successor. You do it.
Prove your loyalty.
Instead, it's just Jugrim doing it, where we already know Jugrim's loyalty. It's not a – we're not going to get a fucking betrayal from Jugrim. Like, we already get that. Same thing where it's like if we – like you were saying, if we saw Uryu glacking Soul Reapers out there, then we'd be like, oh, shit. Like, what if Uryu killed a Soul Reaper that we knew? Then it'd be like, fuck, maybe he is.
Yeah,
what if he got Maki Maki?
That would start a riot, dude.
Don't go there, Pythies. Oh, my Lord. And my heart.
You know what? Like, Uryu wouldn't have to feel bad if he killed Kangdu and BG9 because, hey, they're the bad guys.
It's true.
He still proved his loyalty, so he's not technically disobeying you, huh?
He needs to do both. He needs to kill the Soul Reapers because then he also needs to kill Kangdu and BG9, but they need to add the portions where basically Kangdu is begging for his life. And then Uryu has to still pull the trigger.
Yeah.
That'd be really cool.
Yeah. I think that would solve it. He needs to make some hard choices, and I don't think he ever does.
His hard choice was, I guess I'll hang out with this mustache man.
It's like, fuck it, I'll be the mole. I don't care. It's like, this will be good. And I get new powers? Fuck it.
Let's go. Hook it up.
Yeah.
I get new powers. All he has to do, he's kind of bullied by Jugrim a little bit, who doesn't buy it. He doesn't buy his shit at all.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Yeah, which, for being the Almighty and seeing the future, Yuha sure buys into fucking Uryu's thing real quick.
He doesn't, but he's like, eh, he can't do anything.
Yeah, I'm the Almighty. Fuck it. What are they gonna do?
He was too cocky. That's what always happens.
Oh man, when you remember what the fuck actually killed Yuha, it's gonna be so fucking funny.
I mean, I remember what kills Yuha, and I assume this is what you're talking of. We'll see if my boomer memory is correct. It's Ichigo's kid.
Well, that happened. I mean before that.
Okay, so that's not the one we're talking about, because that is technically when he is dead, right?
Yeah.
Is when Kazui just basically goes, oh, what's this? Blank.
Just zaps it out of existence.
I have thoughts on that we don't have time for, so we'll get to that at the end of the series.
Okay, yeah, okay, save cool. It. We'll save that because I do have thoughts on that. We'll save that until the, and then hopefully we'll do a reunion when that finishes. We'll do a Hell Arc. We'll revisit the Hell Arc and we'll talk about that because, hey, I put the clip up. Okay, I don't know if you've seen it, Jose. I put the clip up of us talking about if you could change anything in Bleach, what would you change? And Pythies said,
God.
A funeral for Ukitake. And there are multiple people in the comments going, dumbass, he got one in the Hell Arc. Didn't you read it? And I was like,
that funeral happened like 12 years later. I want a funeral in the moment.
Yeah, yeah. No, I was like, oh, I didn't remember that. It's like, so I just tagged Pythies.
I was like, I just want someone to be sad about him, man.
Yeah, that shit was so funny.
He sacrifices himself and they never cut back to it.
True. Which is still a good reason. And it's like, Yama got a little bit of a thing, you know? It's like, there's no reason. But you could argue that when Ukitake dies, they never stopped, you know? It's like, they just kept going. Whereas,
yeah,
like, for Yama's thing, they had a little bit of a breathing room.
I fucking love all of those comments. I love reading those comments, dude. They're so funny.
Dude, so funny. One guy, when we were talking, I posted two talking about us with a Zanpakuto. This is a very meta conversation of talking about clips. Mm-hmm. But somebody was like, haven't you seen in the anime, they had a whole arc about what happens to the Zanpakuto spears and stuff like that. I saw that.
Oh,
I was out eating.
God.
I was like, wait till I get home. I'm about to smack you upside the head with that's a filler arc, you dumbass. Like, I'm about to go in the comments and murder you. That is a fucking filler arc.
Just planning it.
Somebody
all
else beat me to it. Yeah, somebody else did it. And this is on, we don't normally get a lot of engagement. This is on Facebook that the comment happened.
Oh, that's where it came from?
Yeah, this is on Facebook. And somebody else beat me to it. It was like, that's a filler arc. It's not canon. I was like, thank you. Because he came in hot. He's like, these guys have clearly never seen the anime.
No, we haven't.
You definitely don't have a podcast going through every arc of this fucking anime.
Yeah.
Definitely don't read the manga.
Yeah. And then I was streaming on TikTok and our boy Gabe was here. And
was he
someone,
wrecking people?
Well, no, we were having a great time. And someone was like, oh, I really like talking to you because you're very knowledgeable about Bleach. Gabe just goes, no, he isn't. I'm just like, fuck. And I'm like, yo, to be fair, I'm not knowledgeable on Bleach. I told him, I was like,
I really am not. I would call, I'm a Bleach enjoyer. Like, I don't have an encyclopedia knowledge of this thing. I just enjoy Bleach. It's special to me. And Gabe's like, he doesn't know shit. I was just like, all right, just all right, roasting. Thank you.
Got to rep Quartz Daddy.
Yeah, I was just like, all right. So, I mean, it is what it fucking is. Any other notes we want to touch on the episode? Anything else to pass on?
Sam, I'm going to give you points because guess whose name I fucking forgot?
Who?
Maki Maki.
Hey, let's go, let's go.
When I was looking at him in the manga, I was like, what the fuck is that guy's name? Is his name like Jiro or some shit?
And then Maki Maki.
And then you were like, I felt like you were teasing me. You were going, you know who it is. You know who it is. We know this guy. I'm like, please say the name.
You're like, just tell me at this point. I hate you.
Faithy's going to sit in there. He's like, please don't throw it to me. Please don't throw it to me.
Normally, I'm like, yeah, throw it. I can't wait to actually you. Yeah. But I was like, don't ask me because I'll be like, yeah, you know that guy.
Yeah, that one dude with the like little pencil stash and the slick back.
Dude, I was so excited. Oh, my gosh.
Was everybody down on that floor? Was it all squad 11?
From what I could tell, it was just randoms across the board.
Okay, I was just going to say, they all had different hairstyles, so it makes sense.
If you remember, Shunsui told all the Soul Reapers to go find the closest barracks and basically okay. gather back up. Obviously, that's also where the healing was taking place, so that's one of the best barracks you could go to.
Yep.
But yeah, it just seemed like it was a mixture.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm.
That's everything I got for the episode.
All right. Well, that was a fun episode. I really think they knocked it out of the park with episode 20. I am interested to see what they do with the upcoming episodes in particular, because I think we're just kicking off with some of the cool shit. We've had three banger episodes back to back. Can they go for the four piece? Can we see?
I mean, they got a hat trick now.
Let's see. Yeah. I mean, go for the four.
To be fair, I think the episodes before this were good. I still enjoyed the Bambi fight.
These were just, like turned up a little bit.
The Bambi fight was good. I just don't think it was as good as the last three episodes that we had.
It surely wasn't, but I still enjoyed it.
All right. Well, I mean, hey, that's all you can say. Like I said, I think us as a whole, probably the people who listen to this, I think we're Bleach enjoyers. All right. At the end of the day, you could still be a knowledgeable person on Bleach, but we enjoy Bleach. It's a good time. You just got to watch and have fun.
We all collectively enjoy it.
Yeah. Yeah. We just got to enjoy.
You guys remember more than someone who's read it once and never again.
Okay, there you go. We're somehow. We're an edge above. Yeah,
Uh-oh. Mm-hmm.
Fuck them.
Yeah.
Last thing. So I don't think we talked about it last time, but there are rumors going around that we will be getting Burn the Witch after this core ends.
Yeah, I saw that after core two, Burn the Witch.
I have not seen any official announcement, any sort of official leak of this happening. This did come from another YouTuber. I believe his name is James Hansen. I don't know how you pronounce it. James Hansen. I don't know how you say it.
He tweeted it out.
Yeah, he's pretty reputable. He said that this is going to happen. He said that the only reason he tweeted out was because somebody else already leaked it. So potentially that is going to be the case. Both anime and manga is what he's saying will be returning.
Wait, both?
I don't know how that's possible. Yeah, both.
Huh.
Also another rumor, which this shouldn't be anything out of the ordinary. Season 3 of Bleach Thousand Blood Rush will be 2024. Obviously, that should probably be pretty obvious based off of the release date of the last one. But I don't know if that it'll be like, example, this one started when this one started July. Will the next one start even later? Will it be a fall season anime? Like maybe a little bit year and some change, or will it be July again? We don't know. But I just saw that obviously Burn the Witch after Core 2, and then Core 3 should be 2024 as well.
Damn. Which if that's the case, that's going to be a good year.
That's going to be some good content.
What are we going to do to fill time when Bleach isn't on?
We will each go through and pick our top five list of women.
In Bleach,
of course.
Okay.
Please bring us both on. I was like, this is a Bleach podcast. I'm not going to be, all right, Jessica Alba.
Shit. Oh, God damn it, guys.
Yeah. Yeah, in Bleach. Yeah, we'll figure it out. I'll figure it out. We'll figure it out.
It'll be a different topic every time. We'll bring a random one, put it in a jar, and just pick one.
Yeah,
just
if you had to pick a bodyguard and it was one Bleach character and the rest of the Bleach characters were going to hunt you.
Only side characters.
There you go.
That's actually a fucking fire topic, Jose.
Yep. Yeah.
We'll figure it out. Yeah, no biggie. All right, well, that's it. We're not going to spill the beans on that right now. Thank you guys for watching. We do appreciate you guys. We've gotten a lot of support on this podcast, so I do want to take a moment and just genuinely say thank you guys. Whether it be from the clips, whether it be on TikTok, whether it be Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, whatever it is, you guys have been super, super supportive, and I do really appreciate it. We all appreciate it. I'm going to speak for everybody here. So thank you. Make sure, of course, you guys are subscribed to us on YouTube. If you haven't, we are the most active on Twitter, so follow us on Twitter. If you just want to stick around for the clips, the best place to see those are either Instagram or TikTok. I'd recommend TikTok. You guys are fucking toxic as shit on that app, so I recommend that one. And then if anything, if you want to listen to the audio version, we are available on Amazon, Spotify, Pandora, on all of the things. So wherever you get your podcasts, you can find us there. Tell your friends. Like, our SEO is horrible because there's a band called Bleach Boys. So anything you guys can do to boost that, thumbs up. All right. We will see you guys next week for some more. Thank you guys for hanging out once again. Bye, everybody.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.